Welcome to Relevance for Today, a show where you will be encouraged, inspired, and fed through the Word of God. You will find relevant teachings, tips, discussions, interviews, and more for both believers and even non-believers who are considering salvation through Jesus Christ. So sit back, relax, and enjoy the show.
Hey folks, welcome to Relevance for Today. We have an amazing guest on the show, a dear, wonderful friend of the family. Braden McDougall is on the show with us. Braden, welcome.
Hello.
Yes, and we are filming this live also, folks. So we're going to have people chiming in and saying wonderful things to Braden. But Braden was diagnosed with a rare liver disease, and she's with us today to share her testimony about her journey, as well as encouragement and focusing on the Lord. So, Braden, welcome, my dear.
Yeah. Hi.
It's good to
thank
have you.
Thank you for having me on here. I feel
yes.
absolutely honored.
It's my honor to have you on. So,
like
it's good
I've
to have her on.
Many times before, you have always inspired me, and I've looked up to you and your wife ever since I met both of you. You guys are amazing people. So thank you for having me on your show.
Yes. Well, thank you for the kind words. And for everybody who's tuning in right now, we've got over 40 people watching live, and there's going to be more watching live as well. If you're watching this on Kingdom Community TV in the future, thank you for tuning in. And if you're listening on all the podcast shows on the podcast apps, thank you so much. So Braden, we're going to jump right in. Where do we begin? You're doing life, you're living the dream, you're just going around being that. When'd you find out? Teenager time frame, adult time frame?
So I found out that I had autoimmune liver failure. It was in 2013. So, and I was actually in beauty school to become a cosmetologist. And
okay.
Yep, that's when I found out and started having test duns and just further things until I got to the point where I'm at now.
Right. And so, I mean, how did you even know? You're in beauty school. I remember that. In beauty school, doing all the hair. Of course, I don't have any, but all the hair done, you're doing all that. And then did you just get sick or...
I actually, I was practicing cutting hair on one of my mannequins, and I cut my finger, and it didn't stop bleeding. So I had to go to the hospital, and that's when they did like a bunch of blood work, and they ended up finding that my red and white blood cell counts were off, and
okay,
I started to see specialists, and they went from you may have cancer to you have this to okay, we know what you have, and it's autoimmune liver failure. So,
right. And so, how old would you have been? 20, 19, 20?
Yep, 20.
How did that make you feel?
It would, I think, when it happens to you, you don't like you're kind of in shock first. And if it was someone else, like if it was my mom or like sibling or, you know, someone that I was close to, I would have felt it more. But when it happens to you,
yeah,
I don't know why, you just don't feel as bad.
Yeah.
It's weird to explain. It's like you're just like, I don't know.
It's almost like a shock a little bit.
Yeah, I think so.
Especially during the, I can relate because I have mixed connective tissue disease controlled by medication and so forth. That's how I got. Someone ran blood tests and blood counts high. You've got some type of disease. And for me, it scared me to death at first because I'm like, my appointment wasn't for another 3 months. in Texas and San Antonio. So I was in limbo for that time period. So that's how I can relate when I asked you, how'd you feel? It was almost like being in shock a little bit. Like, what are you talking about?
Yeah, it can be. It can be shocking for sure. And
Yeah.
It's all around. It's just hard. But I think I was in shock in the beginning, especially until things started to become worse. And then I really felt like the pain and things happening, like being rushed to the hospital and different things like that.
Yeah. And so in this part one, just to let everybody know, we're going to be talking about the journey. And then in part two, which everyone watching live, you'll be here for it anyway, we're going to be actually discussing the transplant and so forth. But in the time period of the beginning of this journey, what was life like for you? Because there's other people out there that are going through different things like this. And hearing from you and how upbeat you are and positive, even though there's rough times and stuff like that, what was it like for you during that time? Because you're 30 years old now. Mm-hmm. And so we're talking a 10-year span. Has it been that long?
It has been. Yeah, it was scary. So when I was 20, I found out, and some of the first things that I had with like encounters of being really sick was, they don't always tell you like what to look for, like what's ahead of you and what could happen, and all the things that could have happened, I felt like did, unfortunately. And like being rushed to the hospital, I remember there was a lot of scary times and nights where, thank God, my mom was with me, and being rushed to the hospital, and I had, my liver would get so inflamed from being so sick that it would push up against my esophagus. And I had varicose veins in my esophagus that actually my veins would just pop, and I would start to fill up with blood, and I would throw up blood until I lost my memory. Couldn't say my name, my birth date, nothing. And mom had to answer those things. And there was a time limit where she had to get me to the hospital, and they had to give me immediate care, or else I wouldn't be here. So there was a lot of scary times, and especially for my family too, because some of the times I don't remember it.
Right.
And that happened throughout the 10 years, the esophagus varices and being life flighted. And to actually fix it, they have to do an endoscopy where they go down your throat and they tie off with actual little rubber band, and they tie your veins back together. And that happened to me at least, I would say, over maybe 30 times.
30?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my word.
Yeah.
Gosh.
Yeah. So it was scary for sure. And those were the moments where it became real, or not being out with my friends or family, and then all of a sudden getting sick and being like, okay, I gotta get to a hospital.
Wow. Yeah, that's intense. You had a serious support team. Shout out to that super mom of yours.
Yes, I for sure. You.
I mean, I know there were more team players, but I know your mom.
No, she's definitely been my biggest support through it all. Don't know what I would have done without her.
Yeah.
And my stepmom, Yvonne, and so many other people too.
Yeah. And you know, it's hard. It's hard for you. And then as a parent having your child sick, it's a whole nother level for them as well.
Yeah, it's like
broken.
Heartbreaking, I think. That's the only thing I can really like truly say is that I just could slowly see my mom like going from the person, like a bubbly person, which she still has been, but then to just seeing so much like heartbreak, you know, too, yeah. And being scared. But she, from a young age, also always told me, like, always pray, like, if you have faith with God, like, that's mm-hmm. all you'll ever need. Like, so she carried that along with us through the whole journey, through my whole yeah. life. And it's always been that one thing that's always guided me, her, and it's always been our ground foundation.
Yeah. Yeah, which is really important. And
it is. It's the most yeah. important thing, I think, that you'll ever do in your life or dedicate. You know, is yeah. surrendering your life to Jesus. And
yes.
Yeah.
And that says a lot. I mean, we're going to talk about mom some more, but that says a lot, because when you're in that time, there's people out there right now watching this that are mm-hmm. in a situation in their life where they just about want to give up, and they just want to give up on God as well. They don't even want to think about yes. Jesus. It's like, why am I in the position I'm in? And then your mind starts going and the blame game and everything going on. But like you said, mom set you up with a foundation, focus on Jesus, praying. And once again, folks, when you're out there praying, not only pray for Braden, but family as well, especially mom, of course, because
yes.
it tears your heart out as a parent when your child is sick or something happens yes. to your child.
Or hurting in general, yeah.
Yep.
And I will say, Melissa too, obviously, she is like
yes.
my girl, and yes. I have to speak on her, like, and I've always thought, like, especially after the fact too, and like going to church, I recently moved to Bangor and I'm going to the Rock Church here, and
oh, nice.
So yeah, I feel God's presence through this whole journey all the time. I can see it and feel it, and just the guidance that he's given me throughout my whole life. Mm-hmm. And so I've always went by the golden rule, which is in everything that we do, do unto others that you would want yeah. done. And mm-hmm. I feel like that's a big, like, duty for us as Christians, to love on one another the way that you have wanted to
yes.
be loved, whether you know their story or not. And I feel like Melissa truly did that for me. She did it so yeah. she didn't ever want anything, and she was just amazing. And her parents also, they were just so trusting with God and like knowing that he has a plan and that we were all going to be okay. And it was really amazing.
Yes, I'm going to say the same thing. And for those who don't know, which will be in part two about the transplant, Melissa is the young lady who gave 60%. Was it 60% of the liver?
Yeah,
so we'll be talking about that in the next episode, because that is a beautiful story. And yeah, that's something else. That's amazing. So here you are. I don't know where to begin, because
I know, I'm like a
we're talking 10 years, and I've known you forever. Mm-hmm. And I remember those Facebook posts popping up where we're all praying for you and all these times. And you said that situation happened 30 times That is like the craziest roller coaster ever that anybody could possibly be on. Yeah. How did you stay strong?
Just with family and the support, and our community has always been very tight, and just knowing that like other people weren't giving up on me.
Yeah.
Really helps you get through a lot too. And having a church base, like, and knowing that you have them also, and like hearing their feedback and who you surround yourself with, I feel like really matters also. And the positive energy. And yeah, it really is. 'Cause all the choices you make in life are really the only thing you have. Like, your choices are what make you who you are. And so you can either give up, which sometimes it feels like it would be the easiest way out sometimes, but ultimately, like, we all have a purpose here on this earth. And I feel like no matter if we know our purpose or not, like, we're not finished here until God tells us we are. And if you are struggling through whatever it is you're going through, sickness, health, abuse, I feel like any time of suffering, nobody enjoys that, but there is a growth within, like, the pain, the midst of like the pain and stuff, and you can still celebrate God and worship Him in the midst of your pain. And you can seek through Him to escape it too, ultimately. Like, I feel like that was my thing, whether it was listening to music or reading or talking to a friend that understood or anything, because I found a lot of comfort in knowing that, you know, I always could count on God, and that it was always going to be there. Like, I'll never fall, because if I have that, then I'll be okay.
Amen. You just said a mouthful. That's powerful. That is going to touch people's lives. Just that segment you just shared, even in the rough times, 10 years of roller coaster craziness. And even in the rough times, if you just focus on the Lord and of course the right people around you. And of course, that's when you find out who's really around you when things go downhill. And it's those people.
And he'll show you and guide you. You know, you think that there's certain people in your life that maybe that's the reasons of feeling like you want to give up. You lose people and you gain people in your life. And, you know, you can have your health one day and then lose it the next day. But within the rocky road of this, you know,
crazy journey, life.
If you just believe and have faith, then you can really get through any obstacle that's thrown at you.
Yeah. Amen to that. Josh Williams. Yeah. Nothing is impossible for Yahweh. Elohim. Yes. Been praying for you. Amen. That's awesome. Good stuff.
Thank you, Josh.
Yeah. And Barb was on earlier too, by the way. She said, now that y'all got me crying, I have to go back to work. My lovely wife.
Working with her.
Yes, I forgot you worked at the nursing home.
Yeah, I got my CNA too. So I worked with her at the nursing home for a couple years, and I absolutely loved every second of being next to her.
Yes, she's the best.
She is. You're pretty lucky. And she's lucky too.
I will say that on recording. I'm a lucky man.
You are.
Yes. So here we are. You're sharing your testimony, talking about people that you're surrounded by love, you're surrounded by family, friends, and it's like we're all on this journey with you. and like you said, keeping God first and so forth. So as time's getting closer, so we're talking within 3 years of the transplant time, because we're going to wrap up this first part of the episode, okay. But don't leave if you're watching right now. But what was the 3 year window for like for you before the transplant?
Oh boy. So, very sick, on lots of medications, up and down on finding, the right meds that were working. And then it would be like, find the perfect amount of medication. And then they would be like, okay, it stopped working now. So now we got to try something else. And, that was really hard within those 3 years of going from just, it messes with your body and your mind big time. And, then with the esophagus varices veins and those popping and being life flighted and just the stress and trying to manage a job too was like the craziest thing ever. But thankfully I also worked at a Christian based salon and my boss was absolutely phenomenal, Karen Cox. And she helped me so much through that whole process, and my family and friends through that too. But let's see. And so the medication, being sick was the main thing, not knowing if I could like drive to certain places, just fear of if I wasn't around someone I'd pass out,
right?
Just a lot.
Yeah. Understandable. So then how did it happen? Because as we're closing this, we're going to share.
So the last thing that really happened was within the year, I got sick and I got sent to Augusta Hospital, and this liver specialist came in and he's like, look, you're getting worse. I don't know if you want to go to Texas or if you want to go, because my mom lives in Texas, as you know, but not everyone does. And they were like, I don't know if you want to go there. They have a good transplant team there, or the closest one near Maine is Boston. And something came over me that I just needed to stay near Maine and be in Boston. So I followed my heart with that, and we got signed up, or I got signed up, and then they talked about the living donor program, and I just started telling my family and friends and my mom and everyone like was going to get tested and stuff. And then I did this Facebook post that was like, hey, if anyone wants to, you know what's going on, this is what it is. And if you want to see if you're a match, then let me know, here's info. And Melissa jumped on that. And it was remarkable because she was like the first one that did it, and the one that everything was like so perfect through it all. Like it took her 3 months to realize that like she could be a match, and then to actually get it scheduled. I found out in January, and then we had the date by April. So, and then we just went from there, and there was it was just so God through the whole process. Like I said, he was so present through it, the whole journey. I mean, between not knowing anyone in Boston, but having cottage, houses, like doctors helping us and like letting us stay in their cottage house for a period of time to help us, and just everything that came through the doctors praying before transplant, having it be Melissa and her mom and her father being there, and her mom being a nurse and being able to run down to my room in case like something happened, and she would at like 12 at night and come like wrap me back up because my incision, or just like the craziest things.
Mm-hmm.
It was amazing.
There they are.
There we are.
Yeah, there's Melissa. For those who don't know, Melissa. So we're gonna end on that note on this first part. So please don't leave if you're watching live, but we're gonna end this portion of the show. And Braden, do you feel comfortable praying for the folks?
Yeah, absolutely.
Awesome. So right. Braden's gonna pray, close in prayer, and then I'll wrap up the show for the first one. Proud of you.
Thank you. All right. Dear Lord Jehovah, I want you to come into our hearts and wash all of our sins away. Thank you, Lord, for letting me be able to speak about my journey and share it with anyone and everyone who it will help in a positive way, and hopefully guide them with whatever they are going through. We thank you for all you've done and given for us, and sacrificing your life, and in your precious name, Jesus Christ, amen.
Amen. Awesome job. So, hey, folks, thanks for tuning in to episode one of this two-part episode with Braden McDougall. She has an amazing testimony. Make sure you tune into the second part. For those of you watching the live, do not go anywhere because we're going to continue on with part two. But hey, for those of you listening, don't forget to subscribe, share with friends, family, and even a stranger. Relevance for Today podcast show, or watch the TV show at Kingdom Community TV. Hey, with that being said, Braden, thanks for being on the show.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Hey, God bless you all. Take care of yourselves. Peace.
Bye.